Cheryl and I kept our grandchildren, Judson and Riley, 3 weeks ago. We had a grand time trying to keep up with them. What is it about little children that causes them to want you to watch them constantly when they do things? For instance, Judson wanted me to watch how he could use his karate skills on his large 2-foot Ninja Turtle. He kept saying, "Watch this, Poppy, watch this." And he'd make a karate chop on the stuffed turtle, and then he'd say, "Did you see that, Pop B? Did you see it? Watch me again, Pop B. Watch this. Did you see it, Pop B? Did you see it, Pop B? You're not watching. Watch this, Pop B." As I focused on Judson's karate chops, our 3-year-old granddaughter Riley ran up to me and said, "Watch what I can do, Pop B. Watch this." And she stood on her tiptoes and started dancing and spinning. "Did you see me, Pop B?" "Oh, yes," I said. "Oh, you're a wonderful dancer." And then she ran into the living room and said, "Come and see this, Pop B. Come and see." "Wait, Pop B," said Judson. He jumped right back in again and he said, "Listen to this." And then he made the sound of a velociraptor dinosaur. And it sounded exactly like one that I've heard on some of those movies. And then all of a sudden, Riley called out again and said, "Pop B, you're not coming. Come and see, Pop B." And on it went. And as you can imagine, I was exhausted trying to keep up with them. "Come and see, Pop B." In chapter after chapter, the Apostle John calls us to come and see the one whom Moses and the prophets wrote about. Nathanael was invited by Philip to come and see Jesus, and when he did, his life changed forever. Let us pray. Oh God, speak to us according to our spiritual needs. And help us to learn from the Apostle Nathanael. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, we do not know much about Nathanael, but we do know a few things. Well, the first thing we know about him has to do with his name. Did you notice that Luke calls him Bartholomew? And John calls him Nathanael. Biblical scholars believe that Nathanael and Bartholomew are the same person. Bartholomew is what is called a patronym, a name which is derived from one's father. A modern example is Stevenson, which would have been stated as Stephen's son in the past. In Aramaic, which people spoke in Jesus' time, the phrase "son of" is the word "bar." For instance, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus calls Peter Simon Bar-Jonah, meaning Simon, son of Jonah. Thus, the name Bartholomew, which in Greek is Bartholomai, is actually Bar-Talmai, or son of Talmai. This means that Nathanael's name was Nathanael Bar-Talmai, or Nathanael son of Talmai, or simply Nathanael Bartholomew. His first name was Nathanael and his last name Bartholomew. So why is all this information about Nathanael's name so important? Because when Jesus first saw Nathanael, he called him by name. Nathanael was shocked. "How do you know me?" asked Nathanael. And Jesus said, "Well, I saw you sitting under the fig tree and knew you even before Philip called you to come and see me." Just as Jesus knew Nathanael, Jesus knows us. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses, our talents and shortcomings, our successes and struggles, And like Nathanael, Jesus calls us to serve him in specific ways. Do you remember what I said a few weeks ago? Jesus has something he wants to do through you that he cannot do through anyone else. What is it? Well, it's something that will help the mission of Christ, and you'll know it when it happens. Just keep your eyes and ears open to the ministry opportunities around you, and like Nathanael, you'll be amazed at what Christ can do through little old you. A second thing we know about Nathanael is also related to his name. If you turn to 2 Samuel 3, verse 3, you'll read about a man named Talmai, who was the king of Geshur. Geshur was located northeast of the Sea of Galilee. And Talmai's daughter was Maacah, and she became one of King David's wives and the mother of Absalom. This means that Nathanael had a royal background. Now, what does this say to us? It says that Jesus chose poor fishermen like James and John, uneducated people like Peter, a doubting Thomas, a sinful tax collector Matthew, and a wealthy nobleman like Nathanael, all to be his disciples. Why did Jesus choose such people? Because Jesus always looks at a person's heart, not his intelligence, or his accomplishments, or his wealth, or his success. Jesus knows our hearts and is always pleased when we seek to reach new people with his good news and when we seek to build his church. Here's a third thing we know about Nathanael. When Jesus saw him approaching with Philip, he said, "Here comes a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." Now, Jesus was very much aware of the pride and the arrogance and the insensitivity and the selfish natures of those Israelite religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. They were more interested in promoting themselves and bragging about their spiritual accomplishments and being served than in promoting and serving Almighty God. Now, the word false in this verse is the Greek word dolos. It means to be crafty and deceptive and cunning like a snake, which is probably why we find Jesus in Matthew 12 saying to the Pharisees, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." When Jesus called Nathanael a true Israelite, he was saying that he had a heart of gold, a deep faith, and a willingness to do whatever it took to make a difference for God. Legend has it that Nathanael led Polemius, king of Armenia, to become a Christian, and that his brother became so angry that he had Nathanael's skin flayed off of him while he was still alive, and then crucified him upside down. Michelangelo painted a picture of Nathanael on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in Rome, showing him holding his own skin that had been flayed off of his body. It's just too graphic to look at, and that's why I used the gentle picture of Nathanael that you see at the top of your bulletin. Like Nathanael, God wants you to have a heart of gold, a deep and abiding faith, and a willingness to do whatever it takes to make a difference for Christ. On the morning before Super Bowl 40 in 2006, hundreds gathered for the Athletes in Action Bart Starr Award ceremony held at the Marriott in Detroit, Michigan. The guest speaker was Indianapolis Colts head coach Tony Dungy. And when Dungy was introduced, he said that he was going to speak about lessons that he had learned from his three sons. And even though it was a breakfast gathering where the clinking of glasses and silverware often occurs, the room was silent except for Dungy's voice. An emotional Dungy began speaking of his middle son, Eric, who was 14 at the time. He stated that Eric shared his own competitiveness and that he was also focused on sports so much so that it was almost a problem. And then Tony spoke about his youngest son, Jordan, who was 5 at the time. Jordan has a rare congenital condition which causes him to not feel any pain. He feels things, but he doesn't get the sensation of pain, said Dungy. For instance, Jordan loves cookies. Cookies are good, but in Jordan's mind, if they're good out on the plate, they're even better in the oven. He will go right in the oven when his wife's not looking, reach in, slide the rack out, take hold of the pan, burn his hands, and eat the cookies, and burn his tongue, and never even feel it. He doesn't know that it's bad for him. We get the question all the time, said Dungy, why does the Lord allow such pain in your life? Why do bad things happen to good people? If God is a God of love, why does he allow these hurtful things to happen? And Dungy said this. He said, pain sometimes lets us know we have a condition that needs to be healed, and that God will send that healing agent right to the spot. Well, with the crowd glued to his every word, Dungy then began speaking about his 6'7", 235-pound, 18-year-old son, James, who had been struggling with depression. He died 3 days before Christmas of an apparent suicide. Dungy said, it was tough, and it was very, very painful. But as painful as it was, there were some good things that came out of it. At James's funeral, Dungy said that he regretted not hugging his son the last time he saw him alive. And though it was a simple statement, it had a tremendous impact on the crowd. Dungy and his wife received numerous letters from people saying, you brought me closer to my son. You made my relationship with my daughter stronger. You moved me to take off work and go take my son to a movie. That's the first positive thing that came following James's death. The second thing is, Dungy said that he received a letter from a girl who went to the funeral because she had known James for many years. And the girl said this, when I saw what happened at that funeral and your family and the celebration and how it was handled, that was the first time I realized there had to be a God. I accepted Christ into my life, and my life's been very different since that day. Dungy stated, that lady's profession of faith made us realize that God's love is special, and it told us what God's love is all about. People asked me, how did you recover so quickly? And Dungy said, well, I'm not totally recovered, and I don't know that I ever will be. It's still very, very painful, but I was able to come back because of something one of my good Christian friends said to me after the funeral. He said this, you know, James is in heaven, right? Don't you know that, Tony? And Tony said, yes, I know that. His friend said, so with all that you know about heaven, if you had the power to bring James back now, would you? No, I wouldn't, said Dungy. And then he stated, that's what helped me through the grieving process. Because of Christ's Spirit in me, I had the confidence that James is there and that he is at peace with the Lord. Come and see, Pop B. My grandson and granddaughter were constantly calling me to look and be amazed at what they could do. Christ is calling us to come and see and be amazed at what He can do through us as well. Just as Christ used Tony Dungy and the Apostle Nathaniel, Christ can use all of us. As you leave here today, keep one statement in mind. Jesus has something He wants to do through you that He cannot do through anyone else. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.